The turbo lift lobby was almost completely dark when Presser and Trilli arrived.
"This is crazy," Presser declared.
Even some of the emergency perm lights were out, which should have been well nigh impossible. What could have caused all this?
"You got me," Trilli said.
"So what, we've got to shorten the wiring?"
"It'd take a lot more than just one," Trilli pointed out. Across the lobby, the faint sound of a ventilator fan went silent.
"There goes another one," Presser said, peering in that direction.
"You know what this reminds me of? That infestation of conduit worms we had a few years after the landing."
"That's impossible," Trilli insisted.
"We exterminated them 30 years ago."
"Unless we've just imported a new batch," Presser said.
The center portside corridor on D6 was as snarled with rusted debris as anything Fel had seen up on D4. The center starboard corridor, in contrast, was almost perfectly clear.
"They've definitely been using this one,"
Watchman commented, as the group made their cautious way aft.
"How do you figure that?" Fel asked.
"From the pattern of dusk on the deck," Drask told him. "There are places where occasional footsteps have lifted or moved it. No more than 20 people come this way each day, possibly fewer."
"Possibly as few as 10,
Watchman agreed.
"The two guards we left stunned back there, running 3 shifts a day, plus a few more, would pretty well cover it."
"Commander!"
Grappler, in the lead, called back over his shoulder.
"I'm picking up voices ahead." "Extend formation,"
Watchman ordered.
"I see a light," Grappler announced. "Looks like it's coming from one of the crew bunk rooms."
"Watch for trouble," Fel warned. "They may have had time to get reinforcements in position." Apparently, they hadn't. A minute later, the group had arrived. At a prison. The door to the old crew quarters had had a pair of narrow slits cut into it, one at eye level for observation, the other just above the floor and wide enough to pass a tray of food through. Supplementing the door's original lock was a heavy add-on with the kind of twin access ports that implied 2 separate codes were necessary to open it.
"Hello?" A woman's voice called tentatively from behind the door. "Perry? Is that you?"
Fel stepped to the door and pressed his face to the upper slit. The bunk room had been divided into at least 3 sections, 2 of which were currently closed off by light, hand-movable panels. The center section, the one visible from the observation slit, had been set up as a recreation area, with chairs, a couple of small tables, games, and toys. Seated in 2 of the chairs were a pair of women, one in her 20s, the other much older, watching as 4 children with ages ranging between 6 and 10 years old played or talked. The younger woman was leaning toward the door, squinting to try to see Fel through the narrow slit. Abruptly, she stiffened.
"You're not Perry. Who are you?"
"I'm Commander Chak Fel of the Empire of the Hand," Fel identified himself, as the children all paused in their activities and turned to see what was going on.
"We're here to help," Fel assured her.
"Who are you people?"
"We're the remnant of the Republic mission called Outbound Flight," the older woman said.
"Yes, we know that part," Fel said. "I mean, you and the children. What are you doing in there?"
"Why, we're the dangerous ones, of course," the younger woman said bitterly. "Didn't you know?"
She waved a hand to encompass the children. "Or rather, they are. That's why they're in quarantine. We're just here to take care of them, poor dears."
"The dangerous ones, huh?" Fel asked, eyeing the children. "What exactly did they do?"
"They didn't do anything," the older woman said quietly. "All they were was a little bit different from everyone else, that's all. Director Ulyar's imagination and hatred did all the rest."
"And what exactly does his imagination and hatred tell him?" Fel asked. "What does he think they are?"
"Why, pure evil, of course,"
the younger woman said.
"Pure evil?" Fel asked. "Yes," the older woman added. "You know, Jedi."
"Who told you Jedi were evil?" Fel demanded.
"Don't you know anything?" the younger woman said. "They destroyed us. They betrayed and destroyed us."
"Did you actually see this happen?" Fel persisted. "Or is it just something you heard from?"
"Commander,"
Drask said. Fel turned away from the observation slit.
What? He snapped.
For the moment, this is irrelevant, the general said quietly. We can learn more about their history when the Aristokra and Ambassador are once again safely under our protection.
Fel felt his jaw tighten in frustration, but the Chiss was right.
Understood, he said reluctantly. All right, stormtroopers, form up. We're heading back to the forward turbo lifts.